choosing this day whom we will serve. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, we thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, and as always, very grateful to bring these radio broadcasts to you, and do want to thank you all very much for both your prayerful and financial support. We really are blessed to bring these radio broadcasts to you and hope that we can continue to do that. We'd love to hear from you. Write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linton, Washington, 98264. Well, we are continuing today our study in Matthew chapter 20, and what a parable this is. Here in Matthew chapter 20, Jesus is dealing with and answering a question that was posed to him by one of his disciples. A rich young ruler had come to Jesus and wanted salvation. Jesus, of course, did not do what we do today with evangelistic methods. Jesus utterly crushed him with the law. And the man was absolutely so sad after this that he walked away. Peter sees it. Peter wants to know, the disciples want to know, who can be saved then? Jesus makes a statement. With men, it is impossible, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. Then Peter shot back, Lord, we've left all to follow you. Therefore, what shall we have? That has been the attitude and the question that we are dealing with this week on Abounding Grace. Listen, Lord, this guy didn't make it. He walked away from you. He did not count the cost. Listen, we have not put our hand to the plow and looked back. We've not gone back to bury parents. We've done everything you've asked us to do. Therefore, what do we get? Now, it was from this point that Jesus launched into a parable. Jesus was very concerned about certain attitudes in the kingdom. The first kind of workers Jesus describes are the early workers in the parable. They have to come to Jesus and negotiate the wage. They want to know what they're going to be paid. They agreed on amount and they went out to work. And then Jesus went on to tell about others. In verses 3 through 7, we have something opposite portrayed. The landowner himself wants to add to his vineyard, and so he goes out at the third hour, and he sees some standing in the marketplace. And we read of him saying, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give to you. So they went. Again, he went about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? They said to him, because no one hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive. Now, Peter must have been stunned at this. Jesus is talking about hours. According to the hours, the landowner went out at 9 a.m., 12 p.m., 3 p.m., and 5 p.m. And what we find with these later laborers is that there was no sort of bargaining that took place. There was no agreement as to wages. Simply the statement, whatever's right, I will give to you. And we read, so they went. Okay, now do you see the picture presented to you this week? This, dear listener, is all of grace, sovereignly given. To become a laborer in Christ's vineyard is the greatest gift. To have a seat in his kingdom, to serve in his house, to labor in his vineyard. What we want to see here is that it wasn't so much that the labor was primarily what he could get out of his workers, but the landowner had come seeking for them to work in his vineyard. They were idle. It was the fact that the landowner had approached them, and what joy it was to have a place in that vineyard. In my hometown growing up in California, there was a guy there, and his name was Rodney. it was an amazing thing that Rodney had some sort of bad disease. He walked lopsided. He was losing his hair, and he just couldn't do what the average person could do. He was uncomfortable to be around. I'll never forget one day, I was a child, I saw Rodney working at the supermarket. That was the market we always went growing up, and I remember that market well. I'll never forget that one day, Rodney was working. The owner of that market hired Rodney. It always stuck with me because he was so limited as to what he could do. Now, do you think when the owner said to Rodney, "Do you want to work?" that Rodney said, "Hey, how much am I going to get paid?" Do you think he wanted to negotiate his wage? When I think of this parable, I think of Rodney. Because the average person coming in to look for a job at the market, what would be the first thing discussed? Well, how much are you going to pay me? The wages have to be worth my time. They have to be worthwhile. Most likely, if the wage wasn't appealing enough, you would go elsewhere, or at least work with a grumbling and a complaining spirit. And there were a lot of bad attitudes in that market. But Rodney was not one. Imagine Rodney standing there, can barely use his body to work. He looks terrible. The owner says, "Rodney, do you want a place in my store?" Do you think Rodney's going to negotiate wages? "No way. Sir, I can't believe that you would consider me. I'm useless. I'm idle. I would be so blessed to work in your vineyard." How do you think the other people felt about Rodney working and receiving wages? You know what Rodney would do? Rodney would take his wages and he would purchase groceries and he would give the groceries away around town because he was so thankful to work at that place. Now I find a strange parallel here. Every week Jesus comes with a tender voice and he offers a place in his vineyard. He set up preachers everywhere. He gives the invitation off every hilltop. He says to the sinner, he says to the prostitutes, he says to those who are foul, those who are the sinners, those who are what we consider the bad of society, "Come, work for me. Come into my vineyard. Labor." All of this is to say, dear listener, that there are many who have terribly lost sight of the fact that anything we have, any place in Christ's kingdom, is all of grace, sovereign grace. And what a privilege it is. The beauty is that Christ has come after servants to work in his vineyard. He doesn't need them, but he's come to seek and to save that which is lost. And the privilege by grace we have to be in his kingdom, how awful is the mentality before the landowner of self-righteousness. "Hey, what do we get for being in the vineyard and working so long?" You see, Jesus was telling parables about this kind of stuff all the time, wasn't he? So similar was another parable. Jesus invited all of these people, this great banquet was being held, and all these people were invited, and the king invited all of his friends, and they all made excuses not to come. So the king went out, and he invited the blind, the lame, the poor, the maimed, in other words, the Rodneys. And you know what that means? The blind can't see to come on their own. The lame can't walk, the poor don't have clothes, the maimed are seriously handicapped. All of it means that they have to be brought to the feast. You surely can understand why Jesus said, "The last will be first." Those who are so incapacitated compared to everyone else and yet are welcomed into the vineyard are going to appreciate and marvel at what? The work? No. Marvel at the landowner. There will be joy to labor for the landowner. Look at what kind of landowner he is. So I ask the question, how thankful are you to have a place in the vineyard? How thankful are you for grace? Grace that makes promise to promise that your sins are forgiven, that you have everlasting life, that the Savior constantly intercedes for you, and you are given a place in his kingdom. Who do we represent here? Jesus holds this out, doesn't he? One pastor said this. It was J.I. Packer. Paul said, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." But many church people are not like this. They may pay lip service to the idea of grace, but there they stop. The thought means nothing to them. It does not touch their experience at all. Jesus leaves us with this thought. Think about what's pictured before you. Imagine hiring someone at 5 o'clock when the workday ends at 6. That doesn't say anything about the worker, but it says everything about the landowner. Who would hire for only 1 hour of work? What this says is that the landowner didn't care about what he was getting out of it, how much profit the servant would bring. He cared more for the fact that the servant stood outside the vineyard, and so should we. That's where we belong, and God has given the believer a place in his vineyard. What a picture of the sovereign love of God. But Jesus leaves this for us to consider. In verse 8, when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his servant, "Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first." Now, when the hired servants later in the day had been hired to work, the landowner said, "I will give you whatever is right." But what we find in verse 9 is that the ones who came in at the 11th hour received a denarius. But when the first came, we read they complained because they thought they would receive more. Then they complained against the landowner, look at verse 12, saying, "These last have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. You're paying Rodney the same?" But he answered one of them, "Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius?" You know what that exposed? The early laborers weren't there at all by grace. Their mentality was a sort of works mentality. "Take what is yours," said the landowner, "and go your way. I wish to give this last man the same of you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things, or is your eye evil because I'm good? You've made them equal to us." They despised the incredible mercy of God. And since they had done so many greater things and had completed so much work and labored in so much longer, they thought they should receive more. And Jesus says, "Is it not lawful for me to do that which my own things that I want to do?" Where would you be today if it were not by sovereign grace? Jesus ends this by saying, "So the last shall be first and the first last." We should respond with joy over the fact that God has pulled someone else off the path in his incredible mercy, even late in life, even as late as the thief on the cross, and given them a place in the vineyard. It all comes down to his sovereign grace. The response to the Lord for salvation should be, "Thank you, Lord, for coming to me at the 11th hour and giving me a place in your vineyard of grace." I have two questions in today. Are you stranded in grace if you've been in the church all your life? How thankful are you to have a place in the vineyard? Are there any standing idle who are listening today outside the vineyard? Jesus just invited you in. Come into the vineyard. Stop wasting your life. Come and labor, not for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life that only Jesus Christ can give you. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program, and we humbly ask both for your prayerful and financial support. Write to us, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264, or go to our website, agradio.org. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.